everybody. Welcome to the Wolfpack Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Dylan Clemens. Here with me, as always, is my best friend, Mike LaPlante. As you can tell, we're down one person tonight. Ike had some personal stuff to attend to, so he's missing. I hope everything's going all right for him, but how you doing, pal?
You know, other than Ike not being here because we're missing him, you know, due to that personal stuff, I'm pretty excited. We just saw week one football. I feel like you should be more enthused with this podcast. You know, we got to see a great game last night. We'll get into that one with the Giants and the Washington football team. I mean, I'm feeling good. How about yourself?
I'm feeling pretty good, man. It was just a long, hectic week at work for myself, so.
Just like everybody else that works through their day, you know, it's a rough one. So I guess we'll give them some good news then. We have this new giveaway we've been talking about. We've, you know, had it in the works, trying to figure out what exactly to do with it. So this Jerry Jeudy mini helmet on a flat white is going to be given away over Twitter. Dylan is showing it right now. All you're going to have to do is basically subscribe to our YouTube. Simple as that. If you subscribe to our YouTube, you're going to be entered into that giveaway, and you could win yourself a pretty cool helmet. I know Dylan keeps, you know, raving and ranting about it over there. He thinks it's cooler than the last DJ Moore helmet we gave away.
Yeah, I think it's super sweet, man. Icy white. Gotta love it.
But, you know, as always, subscribe, follow us on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, wherever you're watching us. It really helps us. Anything you can do to follow us, it'd be nice. You know, keep the Wolfpack alive.
Yeah, much appreciated.
But we'll jump into our Thursday nightcap then with the New York Giants losing by a point, 29 to the Washington football team's 30. Dylan, you want to take it, you know, tell us a little bit about that game?
How frustrating is it for them to lose by 1 point when they had a chance to go up by 7 points after a touchdown by going for two? Instead, they just kicked the extra point for no reason to go up six, and they end up losing by 1 point, man. It's just some crazy shit. Joe Judge totally messed that up.
And not only that, I mean, when Bradbury made that, you know, amazing interception, they should have been playing to win right there. And instead, they were, you know, they ran it on third down. What was it, third and long? I can't remember the exact number, but you're playing to lose right there. Playing not to lose, and you lost.
Playing it safe, man. But how do you feel about Taylor Heinicke? He showed me a little bit last night. I mean, he was kind of locking into his first read and everything, and he threw some questionable balls up there. Like, he kind of reminded me a little bit of Fitzpatrick, to be honest with you. he threw a couple risky balls, but other than that, he totally supported his receivers. Like, Terry McLaurin went off for, I think, 27 fantasy points, and he was very solid. How do you feel?
I mean, it is the Giants. So
yeah, but the Giants' defense is pretty solid, though, man. Like, Bradbury's good, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, no, I know, and they got a decent D-line, and they couldn't really be, you know, it was hard to run on them last night, especially, you know, Antonio Gibson owners weren't very happy with his output, especially when you see McKissick being used in the passing game like he was.
Yeah, I seen that they ran around the same amount of routes. It's just that McKissick saw six targets and Antonio Gibson saw only two.
And McKissick used every bit of those targets to his advantage. Yeah. Especially with that, what was it, a 60-yard gain to take the lead?
Yep.
Well, not take the lead, but get him into scoring position for that dime that Heinicke threw to Ricky Seals-Jones, his only target of the night.
Yeah, that's fantastic. But segue into a big run. What did Saquon have? Like a 41-yard run and looked really good. He cut outside and looked awesome. But then after that, man, he had 12 carries for 16 yards. Like, we talked about this through the offseason about how he's never been the most efficient runner. He's just waiting for that big play to pop. And he had that big play pop last night. The problem is he still only ended with, I think, 9 fantasy points. And he played 51 snaps to Devonta Booker's only, to only him playing 10. which that's a good sign. Unfortunately, he just wasn't efficient like we talked about.
I mean, you're going to see that, though, with the Washington defense. I mean, you're going to talk about, you know, the Giants defense being no slouch. Well, Washington D-line is not easy to run against. So, I mean, there's only so much you can do, especially coming off that ACL tear. I mean, this is 4 days after his first game back.
Yeah.
He's probably sore. I mean,
that's why it was crazy to me that he played so many snaps.
But I know. It was optimistic.
Yeah, definitely. Daniel Jones is pretty much their running game last night. They kept running the read option, and he ended up with 9 rushes for 95 yards. And he looks good running the ball, man, as long as he hangs on to it.
Or they don't get flags calling back touchdowns.
Yeah, stupid shit like that, man.
But, I mean, you know, Sterling Shepard in that game, you know, good showing. Another 20-point game from him. 9 of 10 targets caught, took 94 yards. I mean, I think he's worth wide receiver 2, wide receiver 3 value right now for the season. How about you?
Yeah, you could totally start him most weeks.
But he's
every week, especially with he had 20 points 3 straight weeks heading into that game. I know he was borderline 20 points this week. I'm not sure what he finished at, but he separates, man. And you could tell that Daniel Jones, his mindset is trying to
not. He trusts him.
Yeah, he trusts him. And Daniel, he doesn't want to turn the ball over. He doesn't want to. And that's Galladay's thing, is Galladay has trouble separating. His big thing is going up in contested catches and stuff like that. So I feel like Galladay might have a down year, man. Are you down on Galladay after the first couple games?
I'm not down on him yet. It's only the first game. I mean, these are over. Well, yeah, second game, but still, I mean, he was coming off that hamstring injury in the first one. Didn't get much preseason work or training camp work. So he's shaking the rust off. I mean, guy's coming off a year where he didn't play even last year very much. What, 4 games?
Yeah.
I'm not ruling him out yet. It didn't look great, though.
He had a couple drops.
I'm not advocating you start him. I mean, if you got better options, you want to play them over Kenny Galladay. You want to stash him on the bench. Just you'd rather have him hit on the bench 1 week and then play him, and instead of enduring all these weeks of misery.
I put him in our dynasty league, and it was a mistake. I took the Shark out because I just felt like Galladay was going to hit this week. It was just a feeling, and I got burned by it. Hopefully, Chark doesn't do anything a whole lot, or I'd really be regretting that thing.
Well, you know, the only person to catch a touchdown from Daniel Jones last night was Darius Slayton. He got 3 of his 6 targets for 54 yards.
And he should have caught 2, man. The dummy dropped a long one.
Yeah, and I mean,
the Giants had so many chances to win this game, man, and they couldn't do it. Oh, man, it's got to be so frustrating to be a Giants fan. Shout out Keith Lott.
Yeah, shout out to Keith. I know he loved watching them.
Man.
But also, shout out to Rum Boys Robbie, who won that signed Slayton jersey at the Fantasy Expo this past August. Of course, he's the one that catches the touchdown. That's pretty funny. But, I mean, other than that, no tight end on this on the Giants is worth any start value until Evan Engram comes back and proves himself even.
Yeah, agreed.
Are you starting Taylor Heinicke, though? I mean, he did have 336 yards, 2 tutties.
Super flex option, man. If you had Fitz and you were able to get Heinicke with your fab, if you need to start him, I have no issue with that in your super flex moving forward.
All right, yeah, I'd agree with that too. I mean, obviously you're playing Antonio Gibson. I think J.D. McKissick's worth the flex plays now that he's shown his value, that he is going to be the passing running back.
I did see people on Twitter were contemplating Terry McLaurin, especially Davis from our site. I know he said that he sat Terry last night. But I didn't really understand why they were worried about him. He was targeted 14 times and caught 11 of them for 107 yards and a touchdown. He looked really good, man. He's a very good player.
there was a couple questions I answered on Facebook too of McLaurin. Oh, should I bench him for Russell Gage? Oh, should I bench him for? Yeah,
don't do it, man.
For Marquez Callaway, it's like you invested high draft capital on Terry McLaurin. Play him. He's gonna get the volume. You seen it last night. 14 targets. It's just a matter of if that's gonna be good volume. And right. I mean, it's one game, but Taylor Heinicke shown that he can get him the ball efficiently.
And it was on a tough quarterback. He's McLaurin's kind of owned Bradbury every game they've played each other, but he's still it's a tough matchup, man.
It is a tough matchup. But and other than, you know, McLaurin or McKissick, I'm not really a fan of Adam Humphries. I know he had 7 receptions for 44 yards. It's desperation flex play if you want him. And, yeah. But Diami Brown, you know, he was getting targeted 6 times last night, caught 3 of them for 34 yards. I mean, you like to see that for dynasty owners.
Yeah, and he gets targeted on the deep ball. We kind of knew coming in that was going to be his thing, man. But he looks really good. And Heinicke looks like he trusts him pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, you might be able to get away with a desperation flex play on him until Curtis Samuel is back in the lineup. But once Curtis Samuel's back in the lineup, I can't see Diami Brown giving you any fantasy production. And if you want to talk about no fantasy production, let's talk about Logan Thomas for about 5 seconds here. 5 of 7 targets, only 45 yards.
Like I said, points that might end up being top 12 tight end for the week.
I don't know. I mean, Ricky Seals-Jones with his 1 catch for 19 yards. I mean, that's double-digit points right there.
Often right there, yeah.
But, I mean, that's pretty much it about the Thursday night cap.
Let's rip through these injuries real quick.
Yep. I mean, most of them are pretty obvious, but some of them, you know, we'd like to get you guys to know because, you know, maybe you missed these while you were working. But
Go ahead.
I was stealing you.
All right. Fitzpatrick, obviously, with Heinicke starting last night, he's out 6 to 8 weeks with a hip subluxation. He actually opted to rehab it and not have surgery. The surgery would have ended his season. But I don't know about you, Mike. I have a feeling that Fitz probably isn't going to get this job back if Heinicke keeps playing like this. Do you agree?
If Heinicke can play like this, yeah, I don't know if Fitz is going to get the job back either. But we'll have 8 weeks to see how Heinicke does. But, you know, moving on to the running backs, because that's thankfully the only quarterback injury so far. Mostert out for the year. We knew about him. Chip knee. I mean, no surprises there. Trey Sermon, Elijah Mitchell year, maybe Jamichael Hasty.
I like how it's the Sunday Social Podcast with me, you, and Joel last Sunday. We were talking, hyping Mostert up. He's going to be awesome. He's going to be awesome. 2 carries, 20 yards, averaging 10 yards a carry, and then goes down. We even talked about that on the podcast. Joe said something about watch Elijah Mitchell. Mostert get hurt and Elijah Mitchell blow up. Sure shit happens.
You know, maybe another running back that could blow up this week, possibly Kenyon Drake with Josh Jacobs being ruled out Sunday against the Steelers with toe and ankle injuries. That's no surprise there. He was kind of limping around in the game. He was struggling just to get off the field, seemed like.
Yeah, I mean, at least he gave you a solid fantasy week after he fell into the end zone a couple times.
That's his job. Jamison Crowder, after being activated off the COVID list, he is actually questionable with a groin injury. Then you got Will Fuller out week 2. Everyone thought you were going to get him back after that first week suspension. Unfortunately, like him and Ike, they both have to deal with personal reasons this week. It's a shame. We'll get to see what he can do next week with Tua, hopefully. You want to talk about your boy Mooney?
Mooney's questionable with a back injury. He was on the report last week and he played, so I'm assuming he's going to be fine. Gabriel Davis
against the Bengals, so let's hope he plays.
Yeah, totally. Gabriel Davis is also questionable with an ankle injury. I saw that he was limping around last week. Hopefully he plays. He was the only guy to catch a touchdown in that Bills offense last week. He looks good, man.
Hopefully he can recover from this injury quick, because he does look like he could be an integral part of that offense.
Stefanski rolled out Odell early this week, so he's out for Sunday already. And Marquise Brown returned to practice today after missing the past 2 days with an ankle injury. He's listed as questionable as well. Hopefully we see him, man, because they're really struggling with pass catchers on that team, obviously.
Yeah, you seen what was it? Anthony Schwartz actually picking up some of that slack on the deep play for ODB missing out. And then
totally
did you
that spot.
Did you mention Marquise Brown? I'm sorry, I was looking at.
Yeah,
I
did. Yep.
I mean, I'm still worried about him. I mean, ankle injuries for a receiver that relies on his speed and cutting is not normally a good thing. Plus, you get the small pie in general.
Jonnu Smith has a hip injury. He's questionable for Sunday as well. And I don't know about you, Mike. If Jonnu is out, I'm smashing Hunter Henry and putting him in my lineups. Especially DFS.
I love Hunter Henry as a DFS play against the Jets this week. He's going to be super cheap in whatever platform you play, honestly.
Yeah, very, and then, very sexy matchup.
Mac Jones being the rookie quarterback in Bill Belichick's system, he's going to utilize that tight end. Between him and Jonnu Smith last week, they got double-digit targets.
Yeah, Henry's definitely probably the best streaming tight end this week.
But, you know, obviously, I'm upset Ike's not here to talk about his boy, Zach Ertz, listed with a hamstring injury this week. But Nick Sirianni said he's going to play Sunday, but I'm not trusting it. I'm also going to go with Dallas Goedert in a good matchup with the Eagles against the Niners. I mean, they let T.J. Hockenson go off on him. I think Dallas Goedert can do the same.
They did, man. I'm just a little worried. I actually put Goddard as my sit this week in my start sit article. I know TJ Hockenson blew up against them. I do. But last year, the 49ers were the toughest team against tight ends.
Ah, that was last year.
That's true. That's true. So I guess we'll see. But yeah, there's nothing I can say. Hockenson blew them up last week. It's just that their offense has kind of ran through Hockenson. And I'm not sure that that's the same.
I think DeAndre Swift and Jamal Williams would disagree with that with the matching eight targets they got.
Tight ends and running backs, man. We'll see how the NFL adapts to that offense after seeing it for a week.
But, you know, that pretty much wraps up our injuries if you want to jump into these game previews for week two.
Let's do it. The first game on the docket is the New Orleans Saints at the Carolina Panthers. Jameis Winston, QB4 in week one, 29 fantasy points. Efficient Jameis, 14 of 20 with 148, 5 touchdowns. He did throw an interception in the end zone, but it got called back on kind of a weak ass roughing the passer penalty on Za'Darius Smith. But Jameis was really good. Is he a streaming option this week, Mike?
I think he is matchup dependent. The Packers, I mean, you know as well as I do, they can't stop the run. And Alvin Kamara had 20 rushing attempts against them. I mean, he didn't even need to be a part of the passing game. That's just how much they dominated them in the run game. And then Jameis just threw it over the top.
Yeah, he did.
So I think he's matchup dependent. He does have a good matchup against the Panthers this week. My only concern is, was the Saints defense good or were the Packers offense that bad?
I think it was a little of both. The Saints are going to be without Marshawn Lattimore. I heard that he's out for Sunday, but they just got, who'd they get from the Texans? Ronald Darby?
Ronald Darby.
So
is he that or Bradley Roby? I get those two.
I think it's Bradley Roby now that I think of it, but now I feel stupid. But he should play, so that'll toughen it up a little bit. But
I'm concerned that the Saints defense might be good, and I don't know if Carolina's going to be able to keep up. I like my boy Sam Darnold, but
I don't think this week's the week, man. I think Darnold's, you kind of want to shy away from him if you can.
I'd have to agree.
After a good week from him last week.
Yeah, solid QB2 numbers in the Superflex. You know, you love seeing that. But if you got another option this week, I'd probably sit Darnold for probably Jameis Winston.
you better have a better option. I thought I threw something on the show sheet about this, Mike, but I want to bring it to your attention. Robbie Anderson just got that juicy contract from the Panthers before the season. $20 million guaranteed. Only saw three targets. It caught one of them, luckily, for a 57-yard touchdown, so it saved his fantasy week. But only seeing three targets, does it scare you with Christian McCaffrey being back and how many targets he's going to get? DJ Moore is there. Terrence Marshall out-targeted Robbie Anderson. Are you trying to move off, Robbie? Or am I overreacting?
I'd say it's a little bit of an overreaction. The Jets' D-line isn't terrible, and if I'm being in all honest, the Panthers' O-line is not great at all. C-Mac makes them look way better than what they are. So it's not that big of an overreaction, but it is a little bit in my mind just because – man, that's a good
– I know, man. What if they're Sam Darnold loves to target the slot with his rapport that he had with Jameson Crowder on the Jets.
And McCaffrey's going to be involved.
Totally. And Terrence Marshall is going to be involved as well, apparently. And he looks very solid.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to have to play Robbie, I think. Play him one more week. If he sees only three targets again, I'd say it's probably maybe bench him until he sees more volume. Just because C-Mac is so much of that offense he finished week one RB1, and he didn't even score a touchdown. The last running back to do that in the past 32 games was Christian McCaffrey. Yeah. It's insane the amount of volume he gets, but if he can stay healthy, he's going to be solid RB1 all year. Are we expecting anything out of DJ Moore other than what we saw last week?
He should be set. I still like DJ Moore, but he had the second highest target share of the team with 24%. McCaffrey 27. This offense seems like they're trying to get him the ball more than they did last year. Kind of with like the bubble screens, the short air yard throws, all that stuff. So I like DJ Moore.
Yeah, I like him this year as well. He's going to show more flashes of that speed once he gets that ball in his hands at the line of scrimmage. But, I mean, it's DJ Moore. It's Robbie Anderson. Maybe Terrence Marshall in a couple of weeks. I don't know if you could trust that volume just yet, being week one. No tight ends, obviously. Never play a tight end out of the Carolina backfield.
Let's I want to talk about a tight end with the Saints. Juwan Johnson caught two touchdowns last week, guys, right? The thing you got to look at is that he only played 12 snaps or ran 12 routes.
Yeah, I'm fading Juwan Johnson. Yeah. Touchdowns so hard to repeat.
I just wanted to let people know that he only played or ran 12 routes. So
the likelihood of another five touchdown game and two of them being to Juwan, I mean, yeah. Not likely.
So just beware.
Yeah, so let's actually, if you're good, let's move on to our next game. I figured you want to talk about this one a little bit. We got the Cincinnati Bengals at the Chicago Bears. Joey Burrow, this is going to be his litmus test. The Vikings defense was not very great last week. We thought it was going to be a little bit better this year, at least I did. I seem to be wrong through 1 week. But the Bears defense, it's no slouch. You know that.
I mean, so, they're not the defense they were in 2018, though, that's for sure, man.
No, I mean, now that Joey B's got his new toy out there with Jamar Chase, finished with 100 yards on, what was it, 7 receptions last week, touchdown. Ah, man, I think I'm smash playing all the wide receivers in this matchup.
Yeah, and I love that Burrow walked into the press conference, and before he sat down, he said, "I thought that guy couldn't catch." but I actually had Tyler Boyd in my start section in my start sit article this week. Going up against Marquis Christian in the slot. Mike, do you have any idea who Marquis Christian is?
Nope. He sounds like he should be bagging my groceries at my local Walmart.
He was a reserve safety, a backup safety for his last team, whoever it was, I forget. And now he's playing slot corner for the Chicago Bears.
I mean...
I feel like Tyler Boyd.
He could have been a bagger for my local Walmart at some point.
Tyler Boyd only saw 4 targets last week, guys. But this matchup is much, much easier, and I think he's going to eat this week. He's my pick out of this wide receiver core to go off.
Yeah, let's talk about Joe Mixon a little bit. This is a tough run defense, you know as well as I do. You're starting Joe Mixon, hoping that the volume's going to overcome the efficiency this week. Do you think he's going to score? That's the big question.
I want to ask you if you think he's going to get the volume this week against this tough Bears defense. Like, I think they're going to be able to tell that they already know coming in they're going to be able to check it all over the field against this Bears defense. So are they going to be able to commit to the run like they did last week? 29 times Mixon got. Can you see them doing that again?
I can. Especially if they get up and Chicago can't keep up, they're going to want to run the ball with Mixon to nurture that lead. I don't think they're going to want to have Joe Burrow getting hit any more times than necessary by that D-line.
Yeah. Yeah, he did get sacked 5 times last week against Minnesota's D-line, so he has to get some hits. That offensive line for the Bengals is bad.
Yep, I'm hoping the volume overcomes the efficiency. Mm-hmm. Do we trust any skill position from the Bears? I mean, I know this is a prime matchup against the Bengals, but with Andy Dalton running the show, I mean, they didn't even throw up – what was it, that PFF stat? They didn't even throw a pass over 15 yards, 10 yards against the Rams. I mean, you can't run an offense like that, in my opinion.
No. Allen Robinson is the only guy that you must play in this offense. I know he was shaky last week in that matchup against the Rams, but this is a much softer matchup. Robinson might not score a touchdown, but I could see this being like an 8-10 catch game for around 100 yards. So I can see him returning value this week. I do love David Montgomery, Michael Plant. And it's so frustrating to me as a Bears fan that they have been searching for an offensive identity, and they just haven't made it running the fucking ball. Montgomery looked so good on Sunday, am I right?
Yeah, but, I mean, you also had Damian Williams back there looking just as good.
Well, use both of them. Run it down teams' throats, man. Nagy is just so pass-happy, it's annoying. That needs to be your offensive identity. Help your bad offensive line by establishing a running game, and that opens up being able to throw the ball downfield.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more, because everybody's just crowding that line of scrimmage when you don't throw the ball more than 10 yards. That's why you got Allen Robinson having, what, 7 catches for 36 yards?
Yeah. I see Allen Robinson's agent tweeted on Twitter and said, only 16 more games of this. dude, he's not coming back to Chicago.
No chance. Not unless they're throwing Fields in there anytime soon.
Don't let me get on a rant.
No, I'm not going to, because, I mean, the only thing you can rant more about would be Jimmy Graham and Cole Kmet, and it doesn't look like they're any part of this offense either.
Kmet saw 7 targets, so keep your eyes on him. That's all I'm
going to say. He's a flying under the radar guy, but you know as well as I do, tight ends is a shithole. So, yes. I mean, we want 7 receptions, not 7 targets. So let's move on to our next game then. This one's going to be a shit stomping by the Cleveland Browns. They play the Houston Texans. And it's
Come on, man. That's your first place in the AFC South. That's how you're supposed to refer to that, man.
You know who started out first place, I believe, last year? Jacksonville. They went 1-0. How well did that go for them? I believe they got Trevor Lawrence in the backfield now.
That's what I'm talking about. but you know what? I wanted to ask you is Jarvis Landry a must-start with Odell Beckham being out? You cool playing him as a wide receiver 3?
Absolutely, especially against this matchup. I know they're going to run the ball, but Jarvis Landry's going to get his targets. He's going to get all that love from Baker. I mean, they ran the ball so much last week, and they lost. I think they want to come out and just take some anger out on this, you know, team that looked way better than we expected, because they played the Jacksonville Jaguars last week, but there's no way. This Houston Texans team would be lucky if they get to double digits. Defense is too good, and it's going to be a Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb game. Both are probably going to score, but I wouldn't be shocked to see Landry score as well.
So you're not buying into Tyrod Taylor revenge game, man?
No chance. He got his revenge out on that doctor last year that stabbed his lung with a needle against the Jaguars.
Another question. Are you comfortable starting anyone in this Texans backfield? Mark Ingram, 28 carries last week. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me, man?
That's strictly a positive game script running back performance. They're not going to be up this week. They are not going to be using Mark Ingram 26 times. It's going to be more of a David Johnson game. We've seen he's the receiving back in this offense.
Yes, him and Phil and Lindsay.
I mean, we had a quick question here. Just make it real quick. J-Rob or Javonte Williams, PPR, pick one. Go J-Rob. Melvin Gordon showed he's still got that juice, and they're probably going to feed him again against Jacksonville.
I don't love J-Rob, but I would say still so go with him.
Absolutely. You know, like I said, we're smash playing Nick Chubb, smash playing Kareem Hunt. Jarvis Landry, we are also going to play. He's a good flex play. Solid wide receiver 3 value this week with the matchup. I wouldn't be trusting Donovan Peoples-Jones. I wouldn't be trusting Anthony Schwartz. The only person I trust from this Houston offense is Brandon Cooks.
You do trust him now. That's my dude. Yeah.
It's only because Brandon Cooks got targeted by Tyrod, surprisingly. I did not expect that.
Someone's got to get the targets. The guy's a professional receiver, Mike. He's had 5 or 6 seasons of over 1,000 yards on many different teams.
Yeah, at some point the talent overcomes the crappy quarterback throwing to you. I mean, look at what McLaurin had last year, and he was still solid.
And last night, yeah, man.
But that's all pretty much from that game that I want to talk about, so we can move on to our next one if you're good with that.
Yep, let's go.
Los Angeles Rams at the Indianapolis Colts. This should be a good game, you would think. Both prime defenses supposed to be last week. The Colts got diced by Russell Wilson for 4 touchdowns. Are we liking any of the Colts receivers in this matchup?
Dude, I don't. It kind of grosses me out a little bit.
I don't want Pittman. He's going to be shadowed by Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah, Zach Pascal in the slot. I guess if you have to play him and a flex is okay. He caught 2 touchdowns last week. And the only reason why I'm saying that is because Wentz loves targeting the slot.
And yeah, but
Pascal was on the field for 90% of snaps.
That's optimistic. I'll give you that. But did you know that 40% of this team's target shares went to Jonathan Taylor and Nyheim Hines?
Doesn't surprise me at all, man.
That is way too much. I can't trust a receiver when you're using 40% of your target shares on the running back. It's just I can't trust a tight end. I can't trust a receiver. I will say that, I mean, even though this is a tough matchup, I trust Jonathan Taylor. He's not going to be that great, but I trust the volume with the pass game is going to help give him a solid floor. And then Nyheim Hines would be a great flex play, especially in a DFS play this week probably.
Sure. I got a couple questions here for you about the Rams. Are we worried about Robert Woods? We saw Van Jefferson with the targets last week. We saw Cooper Kupp just eat. Is Robert Woods? I mean, I don't.
I'm not worried about Robert Woods. It was a tough matchup. They didn't have to really pass the ball a lot. I mean, Matthew Stafford only threw it 26 times, and he was very efficient about it. I mean, they had the lead for the whole game. They just didn't have to play aggressive. And that doesn't worry me because I don't think they're going to play terrible offenses like the Bears offense every week. So as long as this defense can have some points scored on it, I think Matthew Stafford, I think Robert Woods, I think Cooper Kupp are all going to have fantastic years.
Sure.
I can even throw Tyler Higbee in there as making it as a top 10 tight end this year.
Absolutely. And then Darrell Henderson. Didn't look great. The Rams rushing attack didn't look great last week until the fourth quarter. Are you still putting Darrell Henderson as an RB2 flex play?
I'd use him more as a flex. I'm not going at his ceiling is RB2 at this point.
If you can put a wide receiver in your flex though instead of him, I'm doing it. Like, I would start Jarvis Landry over him in my flex this week.
If it was full PPR, yes. If it was half PPR, I think I'm still going to lean with Daryl Henderson. Just the opportunity that he could possibly fall into the end zone.
Yeah. I hear you there. I hear you.
Let's do one quick question real quick for you, because I have a feeling I know your answer. Robbie Anderson, Zach Pascal, Nelson Aguilar, Mark Ingram, Trey Sermon, PPR. Robbie Anderson and Nelson Aguilar for me. You like Zach Pascal in this matchup, huh?
Him or Aguilar, man, that's tough. I'll go with Mike and we'll go unanimous.
I mean, Aguilar plays the Jets. I love that matchup. I'd be smashing him. What's up, James? Nice to see you joined us. I hope you're enjoying it. Let's jump over to the next game. You want to take a few of these games?
Yeah, Denver Broncos at the Jacksonville Jaguars. With Judy down, Mike, who do you like to fill in for in his place? Tim Patrick, KJ Hamler, or Noah Fant? Where are those targets going? We also forgot about Cortland Sutton.
Cortland Sutton's going to get an uptick in targets, but his big thing is touchdowns, in my opinion. I think he's going to be their red zone threat. I think the biggest beneficiary of Judy going down, the safest one, is Tim Patrick. He's going to slot right into that role. He did it last year with, I can't even think of his name right now. Drew Locke. Thank you for the help, Dylan. Appreciate that.
That's one of that boring guy's names.
Yeah, I mean, it's just
Tim Patrick.
But, I mean, I think the ceiling really rises on Noah Fant now.
I love it for Noah Fant.
The targets definitely increase big time. And, getting the ball in his hand, he's a fast tight end that can make big plays.
Yeah.
So I think your safest bet's Tim Patrick. Your biggest beneficiary is definitely Noah Fant, because KJ Hamler's going to get his deep targets, but there's no guaranteeing when he's going to catch it.
I know, that stupid dummy dropping a wide open.
But, I mean, I know you know this as well as me, but we're not playing Trevor Lawrence this week.
No, he had a decent fantasy game. Not a great NFL game his first week, through three touchdowns, but also through three interceptions.
Yeah, he's going to have garbage time a lot this year. That's probably what's going to actually make his value.
They're so bad. And Urban Meyer's a clown coach, too, so that doesn't help, man.
Not at all. But do we trust James Robinson in this matchup? I mean, I know we said we're taking him over Javonte, but do you trust him against the Denver Broncos?
If they want to win, man, they got to establish a run game. That's what I didn't understand last week in that matchup against the Texans. You know you can run on the Texans, and they just want to come out slanging it with Trevor Lawrence.
Don't understand it, but you know.
You got a rookie quarterback, and you're just going to slant.
It's like they lost Etienne, and they have no idea what to do now with their running backs.
I agree. And Carlos Hyde is being a pest. He's in the game entirely too much. James Robinson wasn't the most efficient back last year. You know that as well as I do. He needed
all the help. But the volume overcame it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But he only played 63% of the snaps, and Carlos Hyde played 33% of the snaps, man.
It's not promising.
No.
If you want to talk about promising, though, I think DJ Chark might be making a nice recovery into your heart, Dylan. He seems to have a rapport with Trevor Lawrence, and like we established, there's going to be a lot of garbage time.
Mm-hmm.
But who do you think is going to be the receiver that scores the most this week? LaVisca, Chark, Marvin Jones?
It's whoever catches the touchdown. Visca's going to get the short yardage plays, obviously, and it's between Marvin Jones and DJ Chark, but I don't love it against these corners, man. This secondary is nasty, Mike. I mean, I'm assuming somebody's going to have to score with these pass catchers. I'm not sure who it is.
Well, it's not going to be a tight end.
I'm kind of dodging the question. Definitely not going to be a tight end.
I'm going to go with Chark again. I mean,
he has the big play upside, too. I tend to agree with you there.
But, you know, like we said, can't trust a tight end. I think you play Chark this week, and that's the only one I think you want to play, in my opinion. LaVisca is going to get the underneath short PPR work, but I can't see him scoring.
Great. Jumping into the next game now, Buffalo Bills at the Miami Dolphins. Mike, Josh Allen kind of looked a little bit like 2019 Josh Allen. Is he bad again, or is that an overreaction?
No chance. He's not bad again. He came back down to earth. I mean, he had the highest jump in completion percentage in the NFL's history.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to have it. I mean, he threw it 51 times against a very good defense with the Steelers. Minkah Fitzpatrick looked phenomenal out there. I mean,
he just missing on his deep throws.
But that D-line for the Steelers is phenomenal. I mean, he did not have much time to throw a deep ball.
Yeah,
I mean, so I think he's got a little bit easier of a matchup against the Dolphins this week. Their secondary is still no joke, but their pass rush is nothing like the Steelers. So he's going to have that a little bit more time to get an accurate deep ball off. But how are you feeling about Tua in this matchup? Because the Bills' defense is good, just as good as this Dolphins' defense, in my opinion.
I don't love it, man. And I'm a little worried about Tua now. I was hyping him up all offseason, and I liked him. It's just he seems like the game needs to be schemed up for him, and as soon as anything goes wrong, shit hits the fan. You know what I mean? Like, that interception he threw against the Patriots was just bad, man. It's like, what are you doing? But until he shows me a little more, I'm not played to as a streamer, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, do we trust any of the wideouts in this game if you don't trust Tua? Will Fuller's going to be out. Maybe Jalen Waddle is a flex play. I like his PPR work that they've been using with him. They're using him in the offense. I don't trust Mike Gesicki at all. He got – I don't even know what would you call it? Smythed?
Yeah, he played like Durham Smythe played like 70% of the snaps, and Gesicki only played 30. Didn't even have a catch.
I'd play Logan Thomas over him, and I don't even like Logan Thomas.
Yeah, man, Gesicki is not a good player. I really like Waddle, so Waddle's the play here for me. Devontae Parker flashed last week, but he's probably going to be the touchdown scorer on this offense. But
yeah, but
the next guy we're going to talk about, Myles Gaskin, Mike. Are you comfortable starting him here?
Absolutely. He's going to get the PPR work. He's going to get the majority of the work on the ground. I think the volume, like I said, in most cases, that overcomes the efficiency. I think he may not score, but he's going to have a solid base score this week. He's not going to lose you this week, but he's not going to win you this week.
Sure. Are you taking him over Kareem Hunt and Daryl Henderson? Those are two guys going ahead of him, and he's ranked higher than him in ECR right now.
I'd probably take Kareem Hunt.
Okay.
I like the matchup better against the Houston Texans. They're going to run the ball way too much. Kareem Hunt's going to get involved. They're not going to feed Chubb 30-plus times.
Sure.
But, I mean, Stephon Diggs, expect him to get back to normal in this matchup.
He's going to be fine. I mean, Xavier Howard, tough corner, man, and they got Byron Jones. So it's kind of a tough matchup, but Diggs is going to eat. He's
going to
bounce back
at him. All right. Other than that, I think we can move on to our next game. We got the New England Patriots here at the New York Jets. I mean, Zach Wilson versus Mac Jones. I don't think we trust either of these guys in this matchup at all. But who do you think's going to win?
Mac Jones.
Mac Jones? Yeah.
And I have him in a couple of places, and I've had to start him this week in a couple Superflex leagues. Which I had Fitzpatrick go down in one, and then I actually have him in another league between either starting Mac or starting Zach Wilson, and I'm starting Mac in this matchup for sure.
Yeah, if you're forced with these two in this matchup, I'd go Mac as well. I'll tell you who I'm not going with, and that's any running back from this Jets backfield.
Agreed.
Not until we see some consistency from any of them, and I can't see that happening anytime soon.
We'll see a Michael Carter breakout at some point. I just don't know what.
Exactly.
He's got some talent. He'll get some work here eventually.
But other people that are going to get work in this game, Damian Harris, James White. I mean, Patriots, we expect them to be up this entire game, in my opinion. So – what are they going to do? Lean on the run game with the rookie quarterback.
Yeah, I think it's very Harris is a sexy play, that's for
yep,
sure.
I think he's got a multi-touchdown week in his future.
Stay out of the ball, idiot. You know how Belichick is. He doesn't like people fumbling. They can get in his doghouse, and that was a pretty costly fumble, kind of costing the game.
Absolutely. I mean, and with this offense probably leaning on the run game so much, do we trust Aguilar or Jacoby Myers at all?
Yeah, Aguilar is okay. Myers is okay. This matchup is good, man. So if you have those guys on your roster, you should play them this week, or why else are you rostered them, if that makes sense?
No, it makes sense.
The matchup is just not going to get any better than this, really.
Like, if you were asking me who would I rather have, Daryl Henderson or Jarvis Landry? If it was Daryl Henderson or Aguilar, I think I'm going Aguilar in this matchup with the Jets.
Yeah, that's pretty ballsy, but you're playing the matchup. I get that. I get it for sure.
But just like we said, not many options in the Jets' backfield, but there is one option in their wide receiving corps, and his name is Corey Davis. Only receiver worth playing right now. Caught 2 touchdowns last week. Zach Wilson loves him.
Yeah.
I think we love him.
Yeah, we do.
I think he's a great DFS play this week.
Yeah, you play Corey Davis every week. Patriot, their best corner is Jalen Mills, came over from New England with Stephon Gilmore being down. So he doesn't scare me. Why would he scare me?
Not at all.
Corey Davis could be perfectly fine.
All right, so, and we talked a little bit earlier with Hunter Henry. Jonnu Smith might be out. Monitor that. If Jonnu Smith's out, we love Hunter Henry. Smash that
play. Smash it.
So we'll move on to our next game. We got the San Francisco 49ers at the Philadelphia Eagles. I think this has shootout potential. I know you think the Niners are going to return back to form with their defense, but they lost Jason Verrett to an ACL tear. I mean,
are we surprised Jason Verrett's hurt again?
No, I'm not.
That poor guy. Achilles and ACL injury, come on.
I don't think they have a cornerback that can guard Devontae Smith. I don't.
That guy was nasty last week, man.
He was so good.
Smooth. I don't care how skinny that man's arms and legs are. When you're smooth like that, it looks like you're just gliding across the field. Mm-mm-mm.
And I know you might disagree with me, but I am okay with playing Jalen Hurts in this matchup against the Niners.
Seriously, man.
They don't do well against running quarterbacks.
Okay.
When Kyler Murray plays them, Kyler Murray likes to run all around them. I like Jalen Hurts in this matchup. Do you like any running back, though, in this matchup? Miles Sanders, Kenny Gainwell?
I think Sanders showed that he overcame my expectations, right, last week. I didn't think he was going to put that good of a showing, and he did. I was impressed with it.
I thought it was optimistic, yeah, but, I mean, what I did like seeing was Kenny Gainwell getting the red zone rushing attempts. I mean, he had the –
And I don't think that's going to stick. He's going to get a lot of the passing game because Sanders has been struggling with that, but – Yeah, man, he had 15 attempts for 74 yards, averaged 5 yards per carry.
If Sanders can get some red zone attempts, I'm with you on it. I'm just afraid Jalen Hurts and or Kenny Gainwell is going to take away from that value.
Yeah, he should be. Jumping into the other backfield, Mike. I know people are going crazy throwing all their fab money at Elijah Mitchell, throwing their number one waiver claims at him. I'm not as high as everybody is on him. That backfield was going to be murky coming into the season with Raheem Mostert and all them guys in it together. Anyways, with Mostert going down, does that give you more clarity? Do you like Elijah Mitchell more?
It doesn't make it more clear, I'll tell you that.
Oh, it doesn't.
The one thing that does help this situation, I mean, you know Trey Sermon's going to be most likely activated this week. Elijah Mitchell has shown he can do it. He didn't turn the ball over. I mean, he didn't fumble the ball and almost lose them the game last week. That was Deebo Samuel.
Yeah.
So I think he trusts him. I think he's going to roll out with him as the starter. I mean, obviously, the way the Shanahans run their offenses, they're going to mix the running backs in there. I just think Elijah Mitchell's going to get the majority of it until Trey Sermon can show that he can do it. Because he wasn't even good enough to beat him out for an active spot on the roster before week one.
Yeah.
Hey. But – I mean, yeah. I I think we're going to play Deebo Samuel again this week against this Eagles secondary. It's not the greatest. I know Matt Ryan made it look real good last week. But, I mean, you're benching Ayuk until he's can prove that he's involved in this offense. You're playing,
shit show that.
I know. You're that's playing right, George Kittle. You love the way he plays. In my opinion, I think your only safe play on the Eagles passing game is Devontae Smith. He's at least worth a flex.
Totally. Wide receiver 3.
Yep. So let's move on to our next game, the Las Vegas Raiders at the Pittsburgh Steelers. We said it with Josh Allen against the Steelers. This defense is hell. I'm benching Derek Carr in every single league, super flex. I don't think he's going to pull the same magic he did against the Ravens. Do you?
No, especially not on short rest, man.
No chance.
This is kind of a nightmare scenario. They got to travel across country to Pittsburgh to play this awesome defense. They're going to struggle. I mean, Waller's not going to struggle because he's just going to get 25 targets. But the rest of the Raiders' offense is totally going to struggle.
Just so you know, if he keeps up a 19 target pace a game, he's up to 323 targets for this season. I don't know if that's some sort of record, but that's stupid. Are you worried about Najee at all in this matchup?
I wanted to ask you that. I mean, this I'm matchup not. Isn't terrible, but what I am worried about, Mike, is Najee getting hit in the backfield 75% of his carries last week.
But you
75.
Do like – but you know what's a bigger number than 75? 100% of the snaps.
I get it.
That's what you like to see.
He had 5 fantasy points, that asshole. You know what I mean?
I mean, it's scary. Name a player from that
line's booty.
Name a player from that. Name a player from that game that had a good stat line.
I don't want to.
Because there were none. It was two good defenses knocking each other out. It was, you know, good blow left and right. I mean, but with Jacobs out, do we like Kenyon Drake in this matchup, even though it's a tough defense?
I do. He's going to get involved in the passing game, too. I mean, Gruden did say that Drake's going to be a part of the game plan, obviously, but who? I'm blanking on the other running back's name.
Oh, God dang it. Peyton Barber.
Peyton Barber, they said that he's going to get some work, which kind of
I don't believe it. No. Gruden also said he was going to throw Josh Jacobs the ball, and that didn't happen very much.
Never gonna happen.
Do you, other than Darren Waller, are you starting Bryan Edwards, Henry Ruggs?
I don't even really want to roster him. Keep your eyes on Bryan Edwards. He made a couple clutch catches, and I know if Ike was here, he'd want to talk about him a little bit, but I sure don't want to talk about him.
No, I mean, if he you know, didn't get tackled at the 1 yard line in overtime, maybe we'd be talking about him more.
Are you worried about the receivers in the Steelers offense with Big Ben looking like shit? To put it nicely.
I'm always worried about these receivers. The only one I'm the safest about is Juju. He just gets the easy
Stop
underneath.
Saying that, man. I hate him.
I know you do, but he's the slot. The offensive line is not that good, you keep telling me. I mean, dude, he got 8 targets.
I know. He didn't do anything with them, though. 4 for 52, he had 9 fantasy points. It's
just
wow. Ugh.
I like Deontay Johnson. I just don't trust that he's going to stay healthy.
There's just so much more upside with Deontay Johnson and Claypool than there is with Juju. You gotta
I'd say there's more upside with the Claypool. At any point, he could go for a deep pass. It's just if Ben can throw it accurately.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it for the noon games, unless you got something else to add.
Nope.
So let's move on to the 4 o'clock games. We got the Saints at the Panthers.
Nope. We already talked about this game, so I don't know why that's on there again. That must be my bad.
That is your bad, buddy.
That's the first game we talked about.
I told you. I'm like Ron Burgundy. I'll say anything on the damn script.
Oh, go ahead. Skip that next one, too, because we already talked about that, Gabe.
All right. Well, we got the – man, what happened here, buddy?
Minnesota Vikings at the Arizona Cardinals. Kirk Cousins goes off last week, Mike. 350 yards. What did Joe say on his podcast?
That was 350
in week one.
Last year too. And that was the only time all year. This is crazy. A tougher defense. Chandler Jones got 5 sacks last week on Ryan Tannehill. The O-line's not very good for Minnesota, so if they're going to run away with this game, it's going to have to be with the run.
Yeah.
I like Dalvin Cook in this matchup. Justin Jefferson had a rough outing. Are we trusting him against this defense?
Yeah, you're playing Justin Jefferson. Well, I wanted to talk about KJ Osborne a little bit, man. Is he worth the roster spot? He had 9 targets and he played 80% of the snaps, so you know he's the wide receiver 3 in this offense.
Absolutely worth a roster spot. I wouldn't be playing him just yet, not unless you're desperate. Flex play, maybe, if you're in a full PPR. Half PPR, you must be really desperate. But, yeah, he's just the underneath guy. He's not going to be targeted in the red zone. He's just going to be used on early down work. I don't even think he's the guy being looked to on third down very much. If so, it was 2 times. But, yeah, he's worth a roster spot. Just don't play him yet. But if Adam Thielen or Justin Jefferson ever go down, he is in line for a bigger role for sure. How about Hopkins and Kyler Murray? You think they're going to continue that magic against this, you know, Minnesota Vikings defense?
Well, Patrick Peterson revenge game, man. He's probably going to be going up against DeAndre. I know Peterson's a little washed now, but I kind of like to see that matchup.
Yeah, we're smash playing both these players. I'd put them in DFS. Just I love that connection. I got that connection in Scott Fishbowl. It's a fun connection, guys. Do we trust Christian Kirk to score twice again?
No, but he might be a deeper DFS play. He had a solid game last week, and you can tell that he's going to be involved more in this offense. Eventually, he might get a little less of the receiver workload as they work in Rondell Moore a little bit more. Rondell Moore is explosive, man. He's super fun to watch.
He is super fun to watch. And because he's involved in the offense the way he is, I really don't like Chase Edmonds as much this year. It kind of got
his role a little bit, huh?
It did. It did. He plays the slot where Chase Edmonds was playing last year. And then you got James Conner eating away at his red zone work when they get in the red zone. Plus, you got Kyler Murray always with the threat of his legs. I don't know if I can trust either running back in this offense until it's clearer.
Well, I don't think you'll ever get clarity, man. Like, Connor played 34 snaps, Edmonds played 40. It's going to be close to that all year. And they each have their thing. Edmonds is the pass catcher, and like you said, Connor's going to vulture those red zone attempts. So it is what it is.
Yeah, if you're split down the middle, I mean, if you're looking for ceiling, I guess play James Connor. But if you want the floor, go Chase Edmonds. But I would stay away from both of them if possible.
Yep.
At least for the remainder of, you know, they could show something. So let's move on to our next game then. We got the Atlanta Falcons at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I hate saying this, but I can't see the Falcons winning this game. But they're going to be throwing it a lot. So Matt Ryan
might fall off.
No, I think he's going to get blown into oblivion with this defensive line because their O-line was so bad last week. I don't think he's a bum like you put in the show notes here. I just don't think this is the matchup you want to sit Matt Ryan this week. If we're sitting Matt Ryan, you're definitely tempering your expectations on Calvin Ridley. Hopefully the volume overcomes the efficiency.
I mean, he had a ton of volume on the first drive last week, and you're like, oh, that's going to be a sexy Calvin Ridley game, and it just went downhill after that.
Absolutely. Flags derailed the entire Falcons offense.
They sucked. But,
yeah, and I'm going to have to agree with you on this one. I know you wanted me to ask, are we fading Mike Davis this week? I'm going to have to agree with it. It's Zeke knew. I mean, the Cowboys knew last week that they couldn't run on it, and they abandoned the run.
Yeah.
So I have a feeling Falcons are going to abandon the run quickly.
Don't play Mike Davis.
Don't I, I would sit him for a different anybody this week. I would. It's not going to be a good week for Mike Davis, my boy.
Kyle Pitts, though, Mike. I know he struggled a bit. He didn't. I'm pretty sure he saw 8 targets or somewhere close to that.
Oh, and he's going to see probably about, if I'm being honest, 10 targets this game with the amount of passing volume they're going to see. I mean, last week when the Cowboys played him, Jarwin and Anthony Schultz both had 5 targets, I believe, which, I mean, Tampa Bay's not great at defending the tight end.
Sure.
I think that's a bounce back week for both Calvin Ridley and Kyle Pitts. It's just not going to be the bounce back game you wanted.
Jumping over to the other side of the ball, you're starting Tom Brady, top 5 quarterback upside this week of this matchup.
Is our favorite receiver Antonio Brown now out of this wide receiving core?
He was my favorite value in drafts, yours too, I believe. I mean, I still like Godwin better week to week. But Antonio Brown, I think, has solidified me, at least, as the number 2 receiver on this team. I don't need to get into Mike Davis anymore. I'm just going to slander him this whole time. So I'm going to kick it to you about the Mike Evans thing, man. What do we do?
We don't trust him. I mean, you're playing him. You're forced to play him where you drafted him this
Mike, past. You drafted him as a top 15 receiver.
Are you telling me that you have 3 other options that are better than him, though?
No, you don't. That's why.
That's the problem.
So crazy, he was being drafted where he was.
You have to look at it like this way. Since Antonio Brown's been put in the lineup, I mean, they've been almost identical target shares for him, Antonio Brown, Mike Evans, and Chris Godwin. I mean, Tom Brady throws it to who he wants to throw, and he's going to spread the ball out. People are going to have their certain weeks. Obviously, Antonio Brown was the best value in this, but I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't score next week, and it's Mike Evans with 2 touchdowns.
Shout out to friend Zach for playing Mike Evans against me this week in our fantasy league.
I hope he does get the 2 touchdowns.
He will. He will.
But, I mean, I know Gronk had a good week this past week.
Starting Gronk, starting him in this matchup. It's awesome. I want to talk to you about the running backs, though, man.
Yeah, Ronald Jones starting this week, or yep. Leonard Fournette going to be stealing that starting job after Rojo fumbles again?
I hope not, man. Rojo's so much better. Just stick with him, Arians.
If he was better, why can't he hold out on the ball? I mean, granted, Leonard Fournette can't either when the ball's thrown to his hands. So.
I don't know what to do with my hands, man. But, yeah, I don't want to play Rojo after what happened. I'd be super gun shy if I was an owner. I'm not, but I would be.
I don't like any running back from this backfield. The way that they use Gio Bernard in the 2-minute offense, they each have their roles, and Bruce Arians is not going to abandon those roles unless there's an injury or Ronald Jones fumbles again.
Agreed.
So we can move on to our next game if you want.
Let's power through these last 4 we got here. We're running a little late.
Well, yeah, I mean, this is going to be a shootout. I'll be honest with you. I'm playing every player I can in this game. We got the Dallas Cowboys at the Los Angeles Chargers. Dak showed that he can throw on good defenses against Tampa Bay last week. I'm starting CeeDee. I'm starting Amari. I'm starting Zeke. I'm starting Dak.
Yep.
I'm starting Justin Herbert.
Cedric Wilson, though, Mike, take a Gallup spot while he's injured, dude. Anything to keep an eye on?
Yeah, I mean, I think Zeke's going to be more involved in the passing game now that Gallup's out. Maybe a little bit more of the tight end sprinkled in there. So I'm not really high on Cedric Wilson. He's the 5th option in that offense.
Sure.
But, I mean, you're starting Keenan Allen, obviously. You're starting to surprise Mike Williams getting 12 targets. I mean – he might be a steal along with Antonio Brown in the later drafts in this offseason. I'm willing to go out on a limb and say you're starting Jared Cook.
Yeah, it's not a bad start at all.
So, I mean, like I said, I'm starting everybody I can. I would stack players in DFS on this matchup. This one's got one of the highest over-unders of the week. Obviously, the highest over-under is Kansas City and the Baltimore Ravens, which we'll be talking about here soon. So let's move on to the next game. We got the Tennessee Titans at Seattle Seahawks. Are we worried that Russell Wilson's going to be only throwing the ball 23 times again against Tennessee? You know, you think they can keep up? You think Tannehill is worth a start in this game as well?
Tannehill, you can start. Seattle's pass defense, obviously not good. He got beat up a little bit last year. It's probably a little better now, but Tannehill, I have a feeling, is going to bounce back a little bit in this matchup. I am a little worried about Russ, man. They're not letting him cook. 23 times, I know they kind of handled that, kind of handled the game last week against
the Maybe they're saving him.
Maybe. He did throw 4 touchdowns, but he's super efficient.
You like to see the efficiency.
Yeah, totally.
But DK versus Tyler Lockett, whose week is it this week? We know they like to switch off.
I'm going to go with DK here after Lockett blew up last week.
Yeah, I'm going to go and play Life of Balances, and DK is going to get the monster week this week against a porous Tennessee defense.
Feed that man, Russ man, when you can.
I am smash playing Chris Carson this week. Tennessee's defense, again, terrible.
What about Derrick Henry, Mike?
I knew you were going to ask me this.
He averages under 10 fantasy points per game in losses. When they're winning, he's obviously great. I don't like their chances of winning this game.
I'd like to think that
I'm worried about Henry.
I'd like to think that Coach Vrabel is a smart man and knows that he needs one of his best players on the field to win the game. And he's going to find ways to work Derrick Henry onto the field and hopefully involve him in the passing game. I know that's all hope and optimism, but I am worried a little bit if their defense is going to be bad this year, all year long. It's not going to be a fun year for Derrick Henry owners.
No, definitely not. He's going to be very, very frustrating.
So, you know, I think that's it about that game. I mean, you could maybe spot start Gerald Everett in this matchup. It's a nice matchup.
Yeah.
But
hold on, one more thing. As a Julio Jones owner, I'm a little shook by that performance last game. And Vrabel calling him out in the post-game presser about how this unsportsmanlike conduct penalties can't happen and shit. Which, I agree, he's a veteran. He can't do that shit. But he's got to look better. He looked a little rough last week. Missing some time, training camp time. He's got to get timing down.
I put him in the category of the players I don't trust until he can prove it on that offense.
Sure. Let's move on.
So, Sunday night game, this is going to be a doozy. We got the Kansas City Chiefs at the Baltimore Ravens, highest over-under of the week. Again, I'm taking everybody in this matchup. Maybe leaning more towards Kansas City, but you're starting Patrick Mahomes. You're starting Lamar Jackson. I think it's worth starting Tyson Williams. I hate admitting it. He did score last week. The fumbles worried me a little bit. They activated Devontae Freeman, John Harbaugh. He's saying that he's going to involve all 4 running backs.
I know. It scares me.
I think you can go with Tyson Williams in this situation. I like Latavius Murray only in this matchup because he gets that Gus Edwards role. He could fall into the end zone one time, and I wouldn't even be surprised. I mean, do you have anything to add more to this? I mean, besides Mark Andrews sucking dick?
Yeah, man, he just got a big contract extension as well, and he didn't produce 3 catches for 20 yards. He's got to be better, man. If this offense wants to roll, he's got to be better.
Yeah, no, I apologize for the fruity language, but yeah, dude, I mean, you got to be better. You're drafted as one of the top 5 tight ends in this league in fantasy football. I mean, you got to be better.
And what are we doing about CEH, man? I was all about him this offseason, thinking he had to have got he was going to get pass volume. Maybe you'd see him get in the end zone, but I don't know. I don't know if I see it. I might just be overreacting after 1 week, but it's kind of.
He's going to have the volume to give him a solid floor each week, but you know he's not. Yeah, I mean, he's involved in the passing game. He's the guy involved in the passing game for the running backs. He's seeing majority of the carries. He's out on the field for majority of the snaps. It's just he's not the guy Mahomes is looking for in the red zone. That's the only problem. And when you know with Andy Reid, he likes to play his trick plays in the red zone. So it's just the touchdown upside that you're going to miss with CEH. I think he's a good PPR play. But that's RB2. I just think his ceiling's cut off in that offense, even though it is a great offense.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, is there anything more you want to touch up on that game? Otherwise, we can move on to my
I'm looking at you. Stop trying to play the wide receiver two in the Kansas City Chiefs offense. Sometimes it's going to work. Best ball's fine, Mike. Stop trying to. We're not plugging Mecole Hardman in our dynasty lineup anymore.
Yeah, well,
I'm done with him.
What was the other option that we had?
Darnell Mooney. He wouldn't have been much better.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Not
Mecole Hardman.
That's what I thought.
But I just wanted to throw that in there. Let's move on.
Yep, we'll move on to the Monday night game here. We have the Lions at the Packers.
I'm going to make this quick. I'm not a Packer fan, but this matchup's awesome. You're starting everybody. Aaron Rodgers is just going to go off. Like, there's some media heads, national media heads, are still worried about it. The Bucs got their ass kicked first game against the Saints last season and won the Super Bowl. The Packers are going to be just fine. Aaron Rodgers is going to be just fine. Devontae Adams, Aaron Jones, those guys, they're going to be fine. And this matchup is couldn't get any better against Detroit.
Yeah, don't play it cute this week. Don't think about benching Devontae Adams. Don't think about benching Aaron Jones just because they had laid a week one dud. I mean, we thought about benching McLaurin because he didn't do too well. Look what he did this Thursday night.
Yes, man.
It was just 1 week. It's going to happen. Wide receivers are inconsistent. The Packers gave up in the fourth quarter. Aaron Jones wasn't even on the field.
Right.
They had Jordan Love out there throwing the ball. I mean, I'm not worried about it. This is a juicy matchup. You're starting Tanya and you're starting Jones. You're starting Devontae Adams. Stay away from the wide receiver two in Green Bay, though, just like you're telling me with the Kansas City Chiefs.
Come on, man, MBS. Got to show the love.
No, I'm not showing no love to him yet.
All right.
What I want to know about is who do we trust more, DeAndre Swift or Jamal Williams in this matchup?
Probably Swift a little bit just because he played so many more snaps than Jamal did last week. 63-32.
But even Jamal was the passing game. Man. Yeah, he was super efficient. He got a touchdown along with DeAndre Swift.
He's totally a flex option every week just because.
Absolutely.
He's
and we know you can run against the Packers.
Yeah, he's a better version of Nyheim Hines, in my opinion, Jamal Williams is. But I was a little wrong about Swift. Swift played 63 snaps. I was worried about his hamstring. Came out, looks solid, man.
And we're playing only T.J. Hawkinson as a pass catcher in this offense. We like the potential for Amon-Ra St. Brown. Tyrell Williams is out with the concussion protocol, most likely. I don't trust anybody but Hawkinson.
This wide receiver core definitely has some of the best names in it, though, that's for sure. I'm looking at it. Quintus Cephas, Khalif Raymond, Amon-Ra St. Brown.
You can't trust any of them.
Tyrell Williams, you ain't trusted shit.
Man. Nope, I think it's going to be another week where Hawkinson, Swift, and Williams dominate the target share and the receptions.
But if you're a gambling man or gambling woman, take the Packers in the points this week, guys. It's going to get ugly.
Take the over. Yeah. Take the over.
It's going to get ugly on Monday night. But, Mike, I think we could pretty much close it out, man.
Yep, I mean, that's pretty much it for this week. I mean, don't forget about that Jerry Jeudy giveaway. We will be putting out a tweet here soon for it. All you got to do, subscribe to YouTube. It's as simple as that. And then you're entered for a chance to win it. Please follow us on whatever platform you watch us at, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. Just give us a follow. We really appreciate it. We love answering all your questions when we get the opportunities. And don't forget to check out the Sunday Social podcast. We're going to be answering.
Not a podcast, just a live stream, guys.
I
know, you always do that.
We'll call it the Sunday Social Live Start Sit Live Stream. How about that?
That's better. Kind of a mouthful, but.
Yeah. Tell them where they can find you at.
You find me on Twitter at dclemens2222. You can find all my work at fantasysixpack.net, and I do the weekly Start Sit article. Please go check it out. Also, Mike forgot, please follow us and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen.
Forgot. We are new to that.
If you could write us a review, that would be much appreciated as well. That helps us out big time. So
absolutely. If you guys write us a review, we'll definitely give you a shout out too.
Yep.
All right. I think that's it.
You, Mike. I know you're not much of a writer anymore. Your fingers are kind of broke, but
that's all right. My fingers are over here producing, you know, all these different shows. So if that's it, man, I think I'm thinking about to call it a night.
All right, my dude. I'll see you Sunday.
I'll see you Sunday too. You have a good one, man.
You too, guys. See you later.
See you guys.